Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Left, Abdullah in motion. Newton fakes a handoff to him. Newton climbs up in the pocket, has a man. McCaffrey, he's got a touchdown right down the seam.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Welcome into the 11 o'clock hour. That was courtesy of the Panthers Radio Network yesterday. Cam Newton's second of his three touchdowns. That was just a beautiful, beautiful pass. Maybe one of the most prettiest passes I've seen from him so far. We've got Joe Person joining us here in just a few moments. We do have Charming or Chotch coming up in 40 minutes. You'll notice this week we're going to do things in different days than we're used to because we only are on air through tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow, the 19th annual WFNZ Street Turkeys presented by Ram Pavement, Piedmont Natural Gas, and Telware at the Jack Daniels Doghouse, benefiting the second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina Loaves Fish's Food Pantry. So excited for that tomorrow, but you'll notice some things out of place here. And even in some of the things we're going to talk about with the Panthers, like we're talking about the homecoming 2.0, and then tomorrow it's going to be on to the next game, which will be this weekend against Miami on the road, to go ahead and talk about and continue that conversation on his thoughts on the homecoming. We welcome on Panthers beat reporter for The Athletic, Joe Person. And Joe, you are working on what the Panthers must do to make the playoffs. You published that this morning. And, of course, it's also the dollar a month subscription special that's going to drop this week for Thanksgiving for The Athletic. Joe, welcome to the show, buddy.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
Well, we'd love to get your perspective on this. I guess I'm just curious, what was your – how did you end up leaving the stadium feeling after the homecoming, which ended in a loss – on Sunday, about the forward steps of this Panthers team this year?
Yeah, it's sort of same kind of feeling I've had after a lot of Sundays, that this is just an inconsistent football team. They just cannot. They've had weeks like at Arizona where everything clicked, but too often there've been games like Sunday where the offense will play well in spurts. The defense will play well in spurts, but not seeing kind of the complete game, not seeing the complementary football. By that I mean offense going 2 of 9 on third down, defense being on the field too long, being exposed in the running game. And some of these things we're just seeing over and over. And as you reach week 12, guys, you wonder if they really can be fixed at this point. Especially in terms of like the run defense. I just think the way this team was constructed, they are vulnerable to a lot of those kind of wide zone plays. And we saw that time and again Sunday from Ron Rivera and the Washington football team.
Joe, what are we to make? Nick and I spent a portion of the first hour just discussing leadership. Matt Rhule had some poignant comments earlier this week, as did Hassan Reddick, for example. Leadership standpoint, what's going on over there, your evaluation?
It's an interesting dynamic, Stan. I mean, first of all, I thought they named 8 captains before the season, and that seemed like a lot to me. And I don't know if sometimes you have that many people and if you sort of too many chefs in the kitchen kind of thing. But then added to that mix, you have Cam Newton and his big personality, and yet he is a big personality who seems to me is making a concerted effort to not make it about him, be team first, all those sorts of things. And I think he's trying to sort of step lightly and not come in and try to take over the locker room. But And they have, look, they have some leaders. And, like, one of them is Hassan Reddick. And he's not even a captain. I don't think it matters. You guys know this. If you're the best kind of leadership are guys like a Thomas Davis or a Luke Kuechly who, yeah, they'll make some fiery speeches, but they're also going to go out and play well. And you've seen some guys on this team. I mean, I don't think Shaq Thompson played very well last Sunday. Dante Jackson didn't play very well. Taylor Moten had a key holding penalty. You know, all those guys have played well for the most part this entire season. So I'm not, like, nitpicking on them. But I just think I thought it was interesting. And Cam's been talking about it, too, since he walked in the door here. Accountability. And, you know, we'll see if it makes a difference over these final 6 weeks.
It's funny, Joe, and Nick is going to come to you here in a second, but just then that last part. What did you make of Cam's celebration, right? Because I thought his comments leading up to the game, it's not about me versus Ron, it's us versus them and all of that. And then the first touchdown, what some would call extravagant demonstration as a celebration. What do you make of that?
I mean, it's a lot. It's who he is. It's you know, kind of who and what you signed up for. And I mean, I think the crowd eats it up, obviously. It was interesting. Someone in Washington yesterday apparently asked Ron Rivera if he thought a taunting penalty should have been called, and Ron took the high road. But, you know, it's kind of the dance they're playing right now. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, every team in any professional sport is filled with a lot of type A alpha personalities, none more so than Cam. And so I think that, as much as his right arm, or equally so, was the reason that Matt Rhule and David Tepper weren't sure he was a fit 20 months ago when they were rebuilding. So here they are now trying to, you know, kind of coexist, if you will. They needed a quarterback, by all means. Cam needed a team. And so, you know, we'll see. Again, I think he played well on Sunday for the most part. You know, the two-minute situation notwithstanding, which is significant. That's kind of where they are right now, and we'll see how it goes. Winning cures a lot of these things, guys. You know, like all the leadership talk, it's easy to be a leader when you're winning.
Joe Person, Panthers beat reporter for The Athletic with Nick and Stan here, breaking down the homecoming in what was a loss for the Carolina Panthers this Sunday against Washington at Bank of America Stadium. Looking to Cam here, do you think that Sunday is the best is that as good as we can expect Cam to play over the rest of the season?
It's a good question. Yeah, like, Do we see anything more downfield? Like, because there wasn't a lot of stretch. There was some, and my goodness, the one vertical route to Christian was as good a pass as you'll see. Cam hits him in stride. Christian goes up for it, touchdown. Everybody's happy. You know, Matt Rhule yesterday was making some interesting points. That, you know, he was deflecting it. Like, it's not about Cam's arm strength, even though the last couple years would seem to, you know, beg to differ, that it was more about Joe Brady, and that he typically stretches the field kind of horizontally, doesn't do a lot of vertical stretch. And that was true last year with Teddy Bridgewater. But when they brought in Sam Darnold, the idea was to push the ball downfield more. And I think we'll see a little bit more of that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, That to me is still a question. The fact that you only need, you know, kind of Cam to hold up over 8 games with that shoulder, the twice operated on shoulder, would seem to be put in a better position than over the course of a 17-game schedule. So, but by and large, with what they asked him to do, very efficient, did not turn the ball over. Just as we talked about or mentioned earlier, didn't quite get it done those last 2 minute drives.
Joe, I get the sense just outside looking in, this team really needs a bye week right now. Now, you'd like to obviously get a win going into the bye. They go to Miami, a team that's on fire right now. Do you get a little concerned that this team might, you know, like this might be a trap game and looking ahead, trying to get to the bye and not taking the Dolphins seriously, so to speak?
Yeah, it's an important game, Stan, for sure, for the reasons you just mentioned. But, yeah, I mean, you lose this and you're, you know, limping into the bye at 5-7, then you've got to play darn near perfect the rest of the way. And that's going to be a tall order with some of the teams still on the schedule. You know, it's been a hard team to figure out. Like, you know, post-camp, pre-camp, the games I thought they were going to lose, they've won. And other games like that Sunday, I thought they were going. You know, I thought they were going to beat Washington by 10 points, and you know they just. I don't know. It's sort of like you get to this point of the season, and you sort of are who you are. I mean, I think this is a good defense. I think it's a playoff caliber defense, except that they have trouble against power running teams, and they're, you know, the teams are seeing that. Like Matt Rhule said, that the play the Washington kept having success with was something they saw James Conner score on the previous week out at Arizona, and the Panthers, they according to Matt Rhule, they repped it at practice last week, didn't matter. And to me, that's a red flag if you're talking about the you know, the run defense for the Panthers. So, you know, that the opportunity's there. I mean, there's still a lot of talent here. The NFC is kind of a mess at the bottom, in the middle of those playoff standings. And so it's there for them if they can get it together and put a couple good performances back to back.
Joe, really quickly here, we got about 60 seconds. Matt Rhule's name continues to be mentioned by college football analysts as making sense for jobs open like Florida, USC, LSU, all these big jobs available. If things go sideways from here, which they certainly could, do you think Matt Rhule would entertain leaving the Carolina Panthers at the end of this year or before the end of this year for a college gig?
I would be surprised, just because this is a guy that had other job opportunities. He had a job he liked in Baylor, and he chose to come here. He wanted to, you know, I think he liked the idea of the NFL. Certainly anything's possible. I think that his agent probably does a good job of keeping his name out there. And Trace Armstrong's one of the best in the business, Matt's agent. So, you know, here's the thing. I think if things go sideways and he comes back next year to Carolina and they go sideways again, he's still going to be a commodity on the college level. And so I don't know. I mean, Penn State would be interesting if that opens up, but I still would probably say he'd be back next year.
Follow this man on Twitter, at Joseph Person. And again, Joe has a great piece out right now on what the Panthers must do to make the playoffs on the Athletics. And also, we got the $1 a month subscription special that's going to drop for this week for Thanksgiving. Mm. Check that all out at The Athletic. Joe, you are a gentleman for joining us. We appreciate your time, buddy. Great stuff.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Take care.
Same Happy to you Thanksgiving, and yours, buddy. One of the good men
in
Charlotte media there. Happy Thanksgiving to him. We've gotten some questions about the doghouse, about tomorrow, and street turkeys. We'll answer those off air. More to come throughout this day. But as we continue to focus on what's going on with the Carolina Panthers, it's also rivalry week, which presents an opportunity for one local school. Sports Radio FNZ.
I mean, this is a golden opportunity. You have a home game. It's not a ridiculous spread. I mean, the spread in the last few games have been like 27, 26. It was only 13 and 17. Obviously, they'd play last year. So, yeah, this is a good chance. And if Clemson is Clemson again in 2022 and beyond, it's going to be really tough for Shane Beamer, even with an improved South Carolina program, to get a win in this rivalry.
Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norflate. The college football playoff rankings come out tonight. But more importantly, It's rivalry week in college football. I love how Gene Sapikoff, he was on with the clubhouse with Willie P yesterday, and he set it up to basically say, you know, this might be South Carolina's best chance to get a win in a long time over Clemson. Also, it's probably not happening. I like he gave Gamecocks fans hope, and then he yanked it away at the end there.
Let's see what his game is this week. Are they in Clemson?
It's in Columbia, yeah. 7:30.
It's in Columbia.
Yes, sir.
Give me the spread, Fitty.
The line is 11.5 points, Clemson being the favorite. Yes.
I'll take the Gamecocks to cover.
You know what? Bleep you.
I'll take the Gamecocks
bleep
to
you.
Cover.
Bleep you by Goma, Trigoma, Phi Goma, all the Gomas to you.
I don't deserve
you
this.
You say that bleep just to troll me.
By Goma.
You know my Big Deke energy is still 3/4 masked.
No, deflated.
And you have had such a fun bleeping on the little guy, and now all of a sudden,
oh, now I'm bleeping on the little
guy. Football supremacist in town is like, you know what? South Carolina's got a chance. I'm going to drop the points against Clemson. You never know.
South Carolina dropped 40 on Florida. Now, the loss at Missouri is embarrassing, but they come right back. Here's a 21 spot. Bang you, Auburn.
With rivalry week here, yep. This is my message directly to Shane Beamer. All right? You've earned my respect, Shane. I like
in
you.
In one season?
Yeah, because this is basically what Mack Brown did year one at UNC. That was a 2-win team that he took over at North Carolina. Year one, he had him in the bowl. That was incredibly impressive with a true freshman quarterback. This year, what Shane has done in South Carolina is far more impressive. He's had three different quarterbacks. One guy who's a pizza delivery driver. He's driving for Pizza Hut during the weeknights to make ends meet. That's the male equivalent to stripping, by the way. He's using what? Pizza Hut driving delivery to go ahead and pay his way through South Carolina graduate school is old Zeta Nolan. So the fact that Zebediah. He's gotten them, Zebekiah, I think, or Zebatria, I don't know. The fact that he's got them in bowl positioning does Shane Beamer, but here's my message directly to Shane Beamer. Shane, if you beat Clemson, angle it to take the Virginia Tech job. You'll never do better. Clemson.
He'll never do better than Virginia Tech?
No. He'll never do better at South Carolina than surpassing the win total by 5 wins in a season, which is what he would have done if he beats Clemson this weekend, because right, I think the win was 2.
They'd be 7-5.
So they'd be 7-5. You'll never outpace what Vegas thinks of you, and you'll never beat Clemson again. So if you get this win, ride it all the way home. All right, ride it all the way to Virginia Tech.
Mel Tucker has shown you the way. Showed up in Colorado, yep. 5 minutes later.
This is the way.
Michigan State, there's a bag. I'm headed to East Lansing.
The Standalorian is telling the truth right now on air. But it's funny because I don't think it's necessarily like what region you grew up in. But I do think rivalry week means different things to different people. When I think of rivalry week, the number one thing that I think of is Michigan-Ohio State. Because that was the bedrock of college football where I came from. Sure. The world stopped, right? Like, people got out of work. Like, businesses shut down in Ohio and in Michigan for that game specifically so everybody could watch it together. And I know that, I mean, is Clemson, South Carolina, is that what that rivalry is here?
No, it's not. But for those in the Palmetto State, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the world will, and I say the sports world will stop for them in South Carolina. It's not that. The equivalent to what you're talking about from a college football standpoint, and given the state of where all the programs are in Florida, it's not any of that bleep. It's Alabama-Auburn.
Okay.
So
I buy that.
I played my first 2 years of high school in Alabama, and then we moved back to Charlotte. So I'm familiar with that part and how intense that rivalry is. Well, I think it's up there, right there on the same level with Michigan-Ohio State.
It's funny because Alabama-Auburn has been the better rivalry recently? Because Michigan has just decided we don't want to be competitive against Ohio State.
They did get jobbed a few years ago. What was that, 2017?
Did they win?
The fourth down, they got jobbed.
Did they win?
And it was no interest to me. They got jobbed in Columbus.
Did they win?
Funny how that works.
Did they win?
Of course they didn't.
Had they won the year before or the year after? They did not.
They were denied an opportunity to win on that one.
You could have scored touchdowns earlier in the game.
That was a terrible spot.
Never happened. But it's ironic that that game with Michigan State and Ohio State, they could both be top five in the country going into this game after tonight's rankings. That's finally back where it should be, assuming Michigan might actually try and win this game.
Yeah.
And Alabama-Auburn's in the dumper.
Well, I think that's Alabama's got to be careful. Alabama cannot afford to lose to anybody else because I think tonight in the rankings, they're going to put Ohio State number two over Alabama.
I think that's where it should be.
So here's my thing. Alabama can't afford to get an L before they get to Atlanta for the SEC title game next week. So I think for those reasons, you got to pay attention. Now, Auburn just got smacked by the aforementioned Shane Beamer and his Gamecocks. So when I say get smacked, they lost. Here's my thing for you. I wanted, if I could, real quick, let's just go down here and you just give me your level of interest in these rivalries.
Okay.
Thursday night, Ole Miss at number 12, Ole Miss at number 25, Mississippi State.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I'm watching that.
I'm into that. But listen, it got multiple coaches fired 2 years ago, all because somebody lifted their leg on the end zone.
Iowa, Nebraska will both pass.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I don't really consider that a good rivalry in the first place.
It's a rivalry. It doesn't mean it's a good rivalry. Missouri, Arkansas, who gives a bleep? Except Willie P.
Yeah, I'm kind of in on that one.
I'm out.
That one's interesting.
I have zero desire to watch that. And
Colorado, Utah? We're not hitting me with Colorado, Utah?
No, no, no. I'm going down here. Heels at State, number 20 ranked NC State. State ranked by 5.5.
Yes, that does something
for me this
year. Of
course I'm watching that.
Do you know why? Because you and I talked about this in the pre-show. Mm-hmm. Both coaches need this.
They need that win, for sure.
Mac needs to get that seventh win. This has been such a disappointing season. Yeah. Mac needs this win.
And for him ending, starting at number 10 in the country,
yes.
If you could end the season beating your in-state rival who happens to be ranked 20th in the country.
It's not being a ranked team, but it is a silver lining. And for Dave Doran, NC State should win this game. NC State is the better talented team here. NC State should win this game. So winning the games you're supposed to win with Dave Doran and getting to 9 wins in this season, which then with a bowl game, you win the bowl game, you get to 10 wins.
And now you're going to the recruiting season.
That's something you can plant your flag in, even if I still think they're very disappointing. Itty bitty fitty, you're chomping at the bit about this game. What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to ask you guys, I'm a Tar Heel fan.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I would like to point out.
You drip from head to toe.
I got to swag you today.
That yesterday, Willie P comes in with a Hornets hat on and a Hornets shirt, and itty bitty fitty's like, oh wow, are you now with the Hornets? When every day you show up,
you do rock the
dripped
heels.
Out like heels gear.
Yeah,
head
but
to toe.
The heels aren't an official partner. I wasn't pandering to an official partner while filling in for one pregame show.
All right, get your.
What I was wanting to ask was,
God,
for Carolina, does a win over State salvage this season?
No.
And is the future of Carolina football post Sam Howell on the line for Mac Brown in this football game?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it is.
I'm actually split here. The first question, I don't know. I mean, it's a silver lining. It doesn't salvage this season, but at least you get to go ahead. And it would probably, kick NC State out of the top 25, which would be good mud in the eye of the Wolfpack Nation.
And out of the ACC title game.
But where I disagree with you is, I think the key to the next step, the post-Sam Howell evolution of this program, is Drake May. I think Drake May or Criswell being ready to replace Sam Howell, I think that's that is much more important than who wins this game this weekend.
I agree with you, but this game has nothing to do with the future. I don't connect the dots. I think it's something.
What if Howell can't play?
If he can't or doesn't choose to.
If he can't. If he's medically cleared, he's going to play. But if he can't play, then the future's now, right?
Yeah. Then it becomes, okay, Mr. May, let's see what you got. Get in there and go head-to-head with Leary, and let's see what's cracking. And so I think there are some positives that both of these teams can take away going into the offseason. But specifically to that second one you were talking about, the overall impact of what this means moving forward, next year is next year. We'll get to that later. All right, Nick, let me get through these other ones. We already talked Michigan, Ohio State.
And just for everybody joining us right now, it is rivalry week in college football as we await the college football playoff rankings tonight. North Carolina at NC State, number 20 this weekend. What are some of the other games you're looking at?
We talked about Michigan, Ohio State. Buckeyes, 8-point favorite.
I think Ohio State's going to roll these Jamokes.
I would say they probably are, too.
And by the way, what is going to be a fascinating case study is whether Michigan fans, because this is truly where Michigan was for a minute, even under Brady Hoke, where you were winning 10 games a season. The one game you weren't winning was the Ohio State game. So if they lose the way I think they're going to lose, and it's going to hurt because it's in Ann Arbor if it happens, can you tolerate winning 10 games a year or 11 games a year? And your number one loss is to Ohio State?
The answer is yes. Michigan's just got to be more realistic about where they are. Ohio State's the better program.
You always do this all the time. We're talking college football boosters. We're talking alumni. The last thing that they are is realistic.
Yeah, like
please see Florida.
Yeah, they're not there. I'm looking at the time. Okay,
got to move. With Georgia Tech?
No, we skipped that one. Alabama, 19.5 over Auburn. Jeez.
I'll take the points.
Oregon State could be interesting. We know Oregon now with a second loss, probably not going to happen for them.
Fi Goma to Oregon.
Oregon, get
out of here.
They're only a 7-point favorite at home.
You're now Canada.
Unranked Oregon State. Penn State, Michigan State has now lost its luster. Michigan State with a second loss, having just lost to Michigan.
Hit me, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
We're not fighting for axe. We're done with that. Texas A&M, LSU, I don't care. Oklahoma
That's
State.
A big one. Bedlam,
number
13, baby.
Number 9, Bedlam. Oklahoma State favorite by 4.
I have this sinking suspicion that Oklahoma's going to do the dumb thing that Oklahoma does.
And win?
But Fi Goma to them. Oklahoma State takes the win.
You hate Oklahoma. That's fine. Oklahoma State does have.
I just don't. I don't think they're that good this year.
Oklahoma State has one of the best defenses in the country. Notre Dame, Stanford, nobody cares. Pitt, Syracuse, few people care. BYU, USC. So when I ask you overall to wrap, rivalry weekend this week in college football. It's kind of like meh.
No, it's not.
It's a meh. Across the board.
That's the worst take you've had all week.
You've had a week.
Really? You've got the game with the playoff spot on the line, Bedlam playoff spot on the line, and it's meh?
So you got 3 games of the 30 that's going to get played, supposed to be excited?
No, because even though you crapped all over it, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Nobody cares about that matchup.
Okay, so if there aren't 10 games that are rivalry week games that factor into the playoffs, it sucks. Good God, you're a football supremacist. I cannot handle this.
Of course, personally, for me, Stan Fleet will be locked in UVA, Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I need to see what's going on. What's the spread there?
What a rivalry game when one of the head coaches is already fired. Who?
At 3:45. Can't even get an actual time slot.
UVA favored by 7, thank you.
With rivalry week here in college football, who do you think of? What's the first rivalry you think of when you think of rivalry week in college football? And Charming or Chach with the football supremacist Stan Norfleet next on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Welcome back to the show. We've got Brian Geisinger of the BuzzBeat podcast joining us in 40 minutes to talk some Hornets hoop action, but it is time for us to meet out the Charming from the Chach. And you guys can help out. Send in what you think qualifies. It can be maybe an action, which we'll get to, of like Eli Drinkwitz saying, "May the force be with you," after Missouri's win over Florida. It can be turkey for Thanksgiving. It can be anything. Send them in on the text line, and we'll tell you whether it's Charming or Chach. I do want to start right there. Eli Drinkwitz goes for 2. Basically, not only beats Florida in overtime, but ends up getting Dan Mullen fired. He didn't know this when he did this. But after last year, and Dan Mullen wore the Darth Vader costume after Florida beat the Tigers last year, this year, Eli Drinkwitz said, "May the force be with you." And there might have been a lightsaber involved as well. Charming or Chach?
Charming. Now, is Chach, when Dan Mullen wore the damn helmet, the Darth Vader helmet, to a press conference? Like, what are we doing? You're the head coach of a Power Five program.
Well, no. You just hate fun? Huh? Do you just hate fun?
No, I hate unprofessionalism at the highest level.
Then why are you on this show?
Because we aren't professionals. Like,
by the way, yeah. If one thing is charming, the other thing has to be charming.
What?
Like, both things can't be. One thing can't be charming and the other be charming.
Of course it can.
Why?
It is charming.
What? Where?
It is charming that Eli Drinkwitz clapped back at Darth Vader, who was currently unemployed. That's charming.
I will say, because I think Eli Drinkwitz is a big old chotch. The way he treated the App State job, bigoma, a figoma, and a trigoma to that chotch. That being said, this was hilarious. For him to pull out a lightsaber and put up the hoodie and say, "May the Force be with you," that bleep was really, really funny.
That's solid.
That is excellent troll level, even though, again, now as we move on from Eli Drinkwitz saying, "May the Force be with you," he will go back to being a grade-A American chotch. Somebody on the text line had sent a picture of chocolate bourbon pecan pie to Mac and Bone, who are pecan pie haters. So I will ask you.
Why is that not surprising?
Chocolate bourbon pecan pie. Charming or chotch?
Okay, let's break this down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate, check. Or, look, chocolate, charming. Bourbon, charming. Pie, charming.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tri-charm.
It's a tri-charm. It is.
So how can that be anything other than charming?
We've had super chotch before. We've never had super charming. I legitimately, because this is from Central Coffee here in Charlotte, I will be ordering two of these. Well, I'll be ordering one of this for me, and then I'll be ordering a normal pecan pie for my wife and children. They're not going to get the great stuff. They'll get the good stuff.
Yeah, the kids don't need bourbon.
Yeah, some days they could use it. But no, chocolate bourbon pecan pie is absolutely super charming. You guys can follow along, by the way, if you would like to answer whether you think these things are charming or chotch. Did you see Kyle Kuzma's oversized pink sweater yesterday?
Bro, it was trending all night, and I just didn't really understand.
Is his father Shaq?
Where
maybe his father Shaq, and he just borrowed his dad's hoodie.
Where was he going with that look? There are guys
to a loss.
There are people that just crave attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason you're wearing that. That's not fashionable anywhere.
Well, okay, we could say half of that, or half the. We could say the same thing about half the things that Russell Westbrook wears. But here's the problem: Kyle Kuzma is just a chotch. He didn't fit in. He wanted to score more than he wanted to win in L.A. Right? He couldn't fit into a winning culture in L.A. He liked it better when he was scoring more with a loser team, and now he likes being on a loser team in Washington. Sorry, Wizards fans. By the way, it's the Bullets. The fact that we still have to call them Wizards is absolutely stupid.
Can't say Bullets.
Yes, you can.
You can't say it anymore.
Yes, they're not literal bullets being fired at anyone.
But it was in Southeast D.C., which is why they changed the name.
Then fix the Bullets being fired. Don't fix the name. That?
You can't fix the streets.
Like, yes, you can. You can attempt to help the streets.
They did attempt, but removing the name sent a message.
The most soft batch cookie move was, hey guys, people keep shooting each other in Washington. Let's change the name of the team.
In case you hadn't realized, changing names of teams, it's kind of a thing.
Yes. When it is racially insensitive, go ahead and change
but bullets
them.
But knocking people over for good, that doesn't.
Yes, because it's a thing.
That take,
what's next?
That
we got to change it for Tigers?
That take was chotch.
You know what?
And yes,
you know,
Peter has come up and demanded that
and
certain
Peter
team name.
Is chotch. All right, I am the most animal-loving person
that
on
is Nick
this
Wilson
show.
Saying that.
And I think PETA is chotch.
I have nothing to say on that matter. We could probably change the subject and move along.
All right, but so you can insult CMPD.
I didn't.
But
I
you
asked,
can't insult
no,
PETA.
I asked CMPD to give me some more direction.
All right, guys, this is Charming or Chotch. We want to know. Send in things on the text line here. We will say whether it is a charming or a chotch. Somebody saying on the text line, Nick being sus. That's very charming. Yeah. Yeah, the reason why you've tweeted that 17 times or texted us 17 times is because it's so charming. And you know you can't be that charming. It's okay.
Charming or Chotch, the temperature in this studio has gotten to an acceptable level.
It's still Chotch. It's 77 degrees. The only now I will give you are Charming for getting us fans in here, but the fact that it was 85, guys, 30 minutes into the show, I had flop sweat. Flop sweat is try Chotch. It is the strongest of all the Chotches. No bueno. No bueno at all on that. How about you?
The temperature is much better. Yeah, Charming.
Turkey. Charming or Chotch?
Okay. A cooked turkey?
Yes. What did you think I was talking about a little gobbledygooker out on the side of the road?
No, because it's weird. And I'm glad you said that, because I want to come back to this turkey thing. Cooked turkey, whether the turkey is fried, whether it's roasted, whether it's baked, as long as it's seasoned properly, with or without stuffing, turkey, Charming.
Absolutely. And people who say it's Chotch, it just tells me you haven't had good turkey.
Yeah, you don't understand what's going on here.
Like, I get it. Maybe mom overcooked every turkey you ever had.
Or maybe it was just dry as bleep and it wasn't seasoned properly.
Yep, but if you do your job correctly, turkey is always charming. Because then turkey helps you build the right plate. Right?
It's a foundational piece.
Because then you decide, where does the stuffing go?
Right.
Where does the mashed potatoes go?
Turkey should take up at least half the plate.
Yes.
And you know why? And then the other half are for two sides.
Yes. And by the way, those sides should be gravy adjacent. They should be able to handle gravy in and of themselves.
You literally should be able to just swab gravy on the entire. Mm-hmm. Now, this is first plate. There's first plate and second plate etiquette.
Well, and don't forget side plate for the mac and cheese.
So I typically go first plate is turkey, mac and cheese, collard greens. That's first plate. Now, I wouldn't put gravy over the mac. It's okay if a little gravy spills over into the collard. Then you go stuffing right there as the centerpiece, and that's where you get the gravy with the turkey. Now, if you don't have gravy and you're going cranberry sauce with the stuffing, and by the way, Charming or Chotch? Stuffing or is it, what's the other word?
Dressing.
Dressing. Stuffing or dressing? What do you call it?
It's all charming because stuffing and dressing is friggin' amazing.
Now, I'm not talking about that stovetop bleep. I'm talking about real.
And let me tell you, I make homemade.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
I cut up the celery myself. I cut up the breadcrumbs myself.
Yeah.
I add a little bit of bacon and ham up in that bee.
You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, buddy. Not supposed to, but you reinvent the wheel in the best possible way.
Can you bring in a leftover plate on Monday?
No. No.
Okay, so are we coming to the Wilson household on Saturday to get some stuffing?
No.
You have your own family. You're not a transplant. You live here.
Go to historic Lancaster and enjoy whatever it is you and the family do down there, itty bitty.
Oh, we're going to have our Thanksgiving feast. I've never had stuffing with bacon or ham in it, though.
I have not had stuffing with bacon or ham in it. No. Ooh,
this is a good one. From the text line, going forward on fourth down with the same play. Charming or Chotch? It's Chotch. Also, if you decide to punt and then you have to call a timeout and then decide because the fans are booing you.
The fans made you second guess it.
That then you go for it. That is also Chotch, whether or not it works or not.
Charming or Chotch. So can we talk about an actual live turkey? The thing.
The gobbledygooker.
What's up with the neck thing?
Wait.
Like the thing.
That's how they gobble.
But, like, what? I need somebody to help me. Functionality. What is this about? So
it's a gobbledygooker.
Kyle Bailey just walked by. He is our resident Virginia Tech Hokie.
Do you think he's going to know what the gobbledygooker is for?
Yes. And the reason I know he knows is because he cheers for those bleeping Hokies. And when you go play in the Commonwealth Cup up at their place, they have these little turkey call thingies, and their mascot has the little thingy. I just need to know what was the purpose of the turkeys.
Maybe ask Darwin.
That's a question for God.
Yes.
I thought maybe somebody knew. What do we do with that thing?
We don't do anything. I don't know what you get to over in Casa de Fleet, over in the mansion over there.
Don't.
But
it just looks weird.
You know what you do? You chop it. And that's where you cut the head off the bird there.
You ever seen a turkey's neck wrung?
All right. This whole segment has been serious. Very
you ever
charged.
Seen that? Where you ring the neck?
I've
you ring it in.
I've butchered turkeys. Do you butcher turkeys? I've killed turkeys before. Yes.
Yeah. Another time, like, we'll get to chitlins and putting the pig up on the tripod and doing all that.
For the first time in a long time, you sir, You were the one that drove the show off the rails, not me.
KB, I need you to tell me what that turkey thing does. What is this thing on the turkey?
We can do this off air. He needs to know what the gobbledygooker does on the turkey.
They support this at Virginia Tech.
When we come back, more on Cam Newton's Big Sunday and what it means for the Panthers on Sports Radio FNC.
It's awful, Nick. They say gobble, gobble, gobble during a football game.
It's the beard.